Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. And let's get started by listening to the president's Easter message for us. Give this a listen.
The president.
Well, thank you very much. On this Good Friday, Christians from all around the world remember the suffering and death upon the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Easter Sunday, we will celebrate his glorious resurrection. At this holy time, our nation is engaged in a battle like never before, the invisible enemy. Our brave doctors, nurses, and responders, first responders, responders of all, are fighting to save lives. Our workers are racing to deliver critical medical supplies. Our best scientists are working around the clock to develop life-saving therapeutics, and I think they're doing really well in doing so. Our people are making tremendous sacrifices to end this pandemic. Though we will not be able to gather together with one another as we normally would on Easter, we can use this sacred time to focus on prayer, reflection, and growing in our personal relationship with God, so important. I ask all Americans to pray that God will heal our nation, to bring comfort to those who are grieving, to give strength to the doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers, to restore health to the sick, and to renew the hope in every person who is suffering. Our nation will come through like never before. I thank the many families who have prayed for me and for my family, and your prayers are felt, and I am forever grateful. I'd like to thank our great Vice President and his wonderful wife, who we all know very well, Karen, for the incredible job they do and for their service not only to the country, but for their service to God. Almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light." As our nation battles the invisible enemy, we reaffirm that Americans believe in the power of prayer. We give thanks for the majesty of creation and for the gift of eternal life, and we place our trust in the hands of Almighty God. I'd like to just wish everybody a very happy Easter. We're going to be celebrating that very, very special day, and it's going to be hopefully a very good weekend and a very productive weekend. And I want to thank everybody in our country and beyond for all they've had to put up with. 184 countries, as of this morning, are fighting this enemy, and we pray for them all.
Thank you, Mr. President. A more clear declaration of the meaning of Easter could not have been spoken. He referred to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and declared his death, burial, and resurrection. Well spoken, sir. Thank you. I appreciate this president more every day. He wanted to see this thing over before Easter. But the devil and his minions closed ranks to make very sure that didn't happen, because we've got to make sure Trump's a failure, and I'll get into that later on. It's very important that some who are under the control of the Antichrist spirit do everything they can to shut down the church for Easter. I don't know if you see that going on. I'll give you some examples in a moment. Broke my heart to hear our president say, quote, "though we will not be able to gather together with one another as we normally would on Easter," end quote. But I was greatly encouraged by the sentiment expressed following when he said, however, quote, "we can use this time to focus on prayer, reflection, and growing in our personal relationship with God so important, end quote. Now, folks, there are some things I've been thinking about really almost from the beginning of this whole deal with COVID-19 that I have wanted to speak to, but I needed more time to collect information, to test my own spirit in the matter and my instinct. And let me speak to that for just a moment before we get into this. My instincts were telling me there's just something wrong with what's going on here. And as I will show, I was right, I believe. However, let me go ahead and also say it's a good thing I waited in order to properly frame the expression of my concerns here. Because there is a disease out there that is killing people, and that is important for us to acknowledge. Instincts are instructed by experience, by past knowledge, and by information that we receive. It is possible to become too confident of our instinctual response to things. Now, I've observed this in others many times, and so I've, by that observation, become suspicious of my own, you know, and to stop and say, wait a minute here. And I've seen people react on instinct that were later proved terribly wrong, and I want to make sure I don't do that. And really, folks, we are especially vulnerable to that as we get older. I mean, I've experienced a lot, you know, and I've accumulated a significant amount of information, I think I can say, and my instincts are instructed by these things. And they prove to be true so often, it's easy to become, well, if you're not careful, overly dependent upon them. Now, something in me knew there was something really wrong about our response to this pandemic. But as I mentioned, I'm glad I waited. I'm glad I practiced my own rule and tried the Spirit to see if they'd be of God kind of thing, you know. And held back and watched and prayed and studied this thing thoroughly, because now I believe I can speak freely about this and ask some of the questions that have been bothering me. I'm not saying I've completely settled all of the questions that I have about this, but I can say that I'm clear on what those questions are, and I'm clear on what I believe is really important about all this. So get ready for a deep massage today, my friends, because it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, it's Easter weekend, and we should be talking about why we use that word, right? Maybe a little traditional banter about bunnies and Easter eggs. Har har. But certainly we should be talking about our Lord's resurrection and what that means. And I will. In fact, our local radio station owner here, Sean Knight, called me and asked me to deliver a special Easter message broadcast live from the studios of this station at 8:30 Easter Sunday morning. And I really appreciate Sean and his willingness to step up at this time and provide an Easter service as closely as we can for those who are shut in because of COVID-19. And you will enjoy the message. It will be a straight-up Easter message, encouraging and hope-filled. And I hope you will tune in Sunday, 8:30 a.m. on this station. As I said, I have had some things stirring in my mind and heart about all this COVID stuff for some time, but other issues were more pressing, and frankly, it was not easy to get the clarity that I like to have. Well, let's just say the devil's wily, and I'm still trying to sort it all out, but I think it's time to openly address some of these things. Now, we're going to talk about leadership and freedom. From the perspective of leadership, I think Trump has demonstrated exceptional leadership in all of this. Now, whatever you believe about the COVID-19 conspiracies that run amok out there, whether you think it's a bunch of nonsense cooked up in the fevered brains of guys and gals wearing tinfoil hats, or you think it's serious exposure of a hidden agenda to use this manufactured crisis as an excuse to push America into the arms of socialism and into the grip of tyranny, or whether you think it's a mixture of both, as I'm inclined to think, or whether you believe our government is responding appropriately to a genuine health threat, and that we should look at this similarly to how we would if China had dropped a megaton bomb on New York and was landing troops in Long Beach and raining rockets on LA. In any case, the masterful manner in which Trump has calmly, but with energy and laser-like focus, taken effective action to lead this country through this thing is reassuring. I mean, I would be glad to have a man like Trump at the helm during any crisis. And what I'm saying is, look at this guy. If this is a test run, let's just say, to show whether he has what it takes to lead this country through a genuine crisis, if you assume this isn't one. Well, I say he has passed with a score of 110%. He's organized, planned, and executed with amazing speed and efficiency and effect. Trump makes Obama look like a guy wearing girl pants riding a girl's bike, gleefully ringing his bike bell. Some of you remember that picture. Anyway, remember where Obama was when Americans were dying of the swine flu? Playing golf and taking vacations. Don't send me a bunch of articles and links to videos where Obama was speaking about the pandemic and all that. Please. I do my homework, friend. I saw every one of them. And I read every one of the articles. And I'm not saying he did nothing. But when you compare what he did between golf games and vacations to the leadership Trump has demonstrated, well, you'll see the difference between a showcase president and a real leader. So today we will discuss questions like, have we lost sight of the maxim that anyone who trades liberty for security gets neither and deserves neither liberty nor security? Anybody remember that one? Does no one else notice that this pandemic is being handled way differently than any before it? And have you even stopped for one moment to ask why? Surely you've noticed that everything that's being done advances the agenda of, well, the left. Am I the only American who remembers Reagan's warning about how the left would implement socialism, communism in America? Now here, I have had to edit this because it's about 11, 12 minutes, but I have posted the full version on my Facebook page and my Twitter and LinkedIn. And so give the whole thing a listen and you'll see that I've been faithful in my edits. But take a minute here and let me give you the gist of what Reagan was saying about this way back when.
My name is Ronald Reagan. Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. It is presented in the idea of a great emergency. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think we could be excused for believing this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, "Since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations."
Not to deny that there is a disease going on killing people and that reasonable measures should be taken to address it. I'm just saying, keep your eyes open. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
It's God's war, and we are his soldiers. The battle for America is on. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The answer to what is probably the most important question in all the debate over COVID-19 continues to be elusive, and that is, what is fundamentally different between COVID-19 and other pandemic flus? The nearest comparable being the Obama swine flu. Have you winced at me calling it the Obama swine flu? Please remember that wince when you begin to hear the COVID-19 thing called the Trump flu or the Trump pandemic, okay? There seems to me to be an effort to erase the swine flu from America's memory. I have pointed to a few examples. The most striking to me was my discovery that in the Science Daily, an article that ostensibly was there to provide a comprehensive list of all the pandemic flus we've had to deal with, literally skipped the swine flu, just ignored it as if it never even happened. Now, there has been an attempt, it seems to me, to categorize that flu, swine flu, in such a way as to remove it from discussion of this current flu pandemic. Now, I've noticed that any attempt to bring up the swine flu is met with scorn or dismissal and, well, sometimes anger. I wonder why. And think about this. With COVID-19, they want to count every death as COVID death, whether or not the person actually died of that flu. Now, if they can be said to have had the infection at the time they died, but they died for some other reason, well, they're counted in the statistics of COVID deaths. Now, I think Trump and Pence probably insisted that Fauci and Birx made this policy public, and the explanation they offered might seem to some to be plausible, and that is that the reporting mechanisms in place are such that otherwise we will not have an accurate count of the number of positive cases or confirmed cases. Really? How hard could it be to simply add a checkbox on the reporting forms for check here if this guy tested positive for COVID-19? Anyway, I don't know for sure, but I'm not buying it. I wonder if this is not being done to ratchet up the numbers for this flu and get them as high as they can. Why would anyone want to do that? Remember, friends, when something does not make sense, you step back and you ask yourself, what sense does this make? So you understand that they have not actually shown us why they believe COVID-19 is so over-the-top dangerous, more so than any other pandemic ever in our history. Even if they could just show us scientifically, you know, that this flu is so much more serious than was the swine flu, that would help me, I'll tell you. They have not provided justification for the destruction of the American economy and the virtual house arrest of all of its citizens and the forced quarantine of healthy people, first time that's ever been done, and the gross encroachments that we've been watching happen against our liberties, trying to use this to take away our inalienable rights protected by our First and Second Amendments. Now, no one has even tried to say, here's the science showing that COVID-19 is a far greater threat than H1N1, the swine flu. Look, the swine flu killed 17,000 people, and that seems to be the number everybody has settled upon, and hospitalized 275,000 plus, and infected 60.8 million Americans. Now, that sounds pretty serious to me. We are nearing what everyone is calling the peak in this infectious flu, and there are a whopping 1,681,964 confirmed cases worldwide. Friend, that's a long ways off from 60.8 million, all right? 1 million versus 60 million, okay? And that was in America alone for the swine flu. And it's not testing disparity. That's not where we have the problem here. We have tested more aggressively than anyone else in this particular epidemic or pandemic. And, you know, back in swine flu days, the testing issue was even more of a problem in most nations, even here, than now. Listen to Dr. Fauci speaking about the swine flu during the Obama administration. Here is his advice for how to avoid getting sick or spreading the disease that was killing people then. 1, wash your hands frequently. 2, avoid contact with sick people in crowded places where someone is sick. But, and I quote, "Of course you can't isolate yourself from the rest of the world for the whole flu season, but you should use good judgment." End quote. So back then, the Americans' good judgment could be depended upon. Ah, very interesting. How about self-quarantining? Yeah, he said this, quote, "Stay home from work or from school if you are sick," end quote. You see, it was sensible back then, wasn't it? So what sense does this make today? Another thing you will notice, during the swine flu under Obama's administration, the focus was on progress toward getting a vaccine. You kept hearing that over and over and over, getting everyone vaccinated. The tone was very low-key. Here you go. When asked about whether people should be concerned about the risk of receiving the vaccination, Fauci said, quote, "We are in the middle of a pandemic, and we are seeing a lot of people getting infected, and some of them are getting seriously ill, particularly people in high-risk categories, pregnant women, children, and people with underlying conditions," end quote. Where have you heard all that before? That's exactly what they're saying about COVID-19. There seems to be no real difference at all in terms of the data. Then get a load of this that I found from way back in the day of swine flu and Fauci reacting to people who were concerned about taking the vaccination. I won't even get into the scandal that blew up over all that right now. But in a mildly frustrated tone, Fauci said, quote, "If this H1N1 pandemic influenza virus had appeared in November or the beginning of December, we would have incorporated it into one of the components of the seasonal flu. And no one would be asking the question, is this a brand new vaccine for a brand new virus? Because the viruses change each year and we change the vaccines each year," end quote. In other words, as far as Fauci was concerned, the swine flu pandemic was another flu, like other flus that have come along. And when they first appear, the population's herd immunity is not prepared to fight it. Over time, the populations begin building antibodies, naturally, by the way. They build resistance to it, and then it settles down into the family of flus that take turns, it seems, rising up every flu season with a little bit of a mutation this way and that way. And you understand, we have lived with flu season for a very, very long time, like every year. No one has shown us why this one is so different from the swine flu. And I've waited a long time now to get the answer to that. I've searched deep and hard to find the answer to it. I cannot find the answer to that question. The answers are evasive and general and vague and equivocating. And you know why? Because there's no scientific proof that it is more dangerous than swine flu. At least none that they've been willing to show us. Again, I go back to something I've discussed with a good friend of mine. You know, it just leaves you wondering, is there something they're not telling us? So they don't want to answer that question. Either the devastation of the swine flu could have been greatly mitigated with all these draconian measures they're telling us we have to take now. But you see, protecting the Obama administration was more important than saving American lives. Or these draconian measures have very little to do with addressing the danger of the swine flu and very much to do with addressing what the liberals perceive is the greater danger. Another 4 years of President Trump, and some liberals have been asked if they would prefer another 4 years of President Trump or more people to die of the flu. And they have said, let me think about that one. And some of them didn't even take a moment to think and said, oh, by all means, let's let more Americans die, but get the president out of there. Because there's one thing I know that is different between the swine flu and COVID-19. And here it is. Obama was president then. Trump is president now. So let's turn our attention in another direction for a minute. Why is Xi Jinping smiling so broadly these days? Every picture you see, that evil dictator, Christian-hating and murdering man, goes about grinning, you know, sort of like the cat that caught the canary, or should I say the dragon that caught his quarry. Is he enjoying the reports of 7 or more American police officers acting like Chinese police over there in China, ganging up on a man riding a bus without a mask, yanking him off the bus? Yeah, one officer grabbing the guy by the leg and screaming at him to step off the bus. How do you do that when you're holding onto my leg? It's just foolishness. How about Christians being fined $500 for attending a drive-in church service? Yeah, Temple Baptist Church gathered to their church parking lot and remained in their cars with windows rolled up to listen to their pastor's message on the radio. And the dictator of Greensville, Mississippi decided, Democrat by the way, to have the police go issue tickets to the Christians who dared to go to church, even though they were practicing social distancing. If you believe the COVID-19 invisible virus, to the naked eye anyway, can travel from one closed car across and then into another closed car and infect people, I'll bet you're an unbeliever that does not believe in God because you can't see him or prove his existence scientifically. Because in my experience, the fool has said in his heart there is no God, and only a very foolish person would think Christians ought to get a ticket for sitting in their closed car listening to a sermon preached over their radio. But it's perfectly understandable to you that liquor stores remain open? What? Yeah, the infamous governor of Virginia has declared churches non-essential and bans services that include more than 9 people. And violators are punished with up to a year in jail and then liable to have added to that a $2,500 fine. Exempted, however, from this law are liquor stores. Don't touch King Alcohol, but you can snub King Jesus. Oh, a little something you should know. In Virginia, liquor stores are owned and operated by Virginia's state government, which holds a monopoly on that state's liquor business. So we can see what spirit they are of, eh? And since this edict, the government-owned liquor stores have raked in over $30 million. Maybe Northam can run on how well his liquor stores did during his handling of the pandemic. Oh, and of course, murdering babies. That's essential, too. That's the guy that wants to kill them after they're born. But protesting the murder of babies, well, that's verboten in the goose-stepping Northam administration. What happened in this country? Where is it written in the Constitution that our liberties are protected except in emergencies? We need to have a very serious discussion in this country about the meaning of inalienable rights and the willingness of government employees that we hire to trust the people to make good decisions when they have truthful information. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer directed residents to remain in their homes and stop traveling between residences in the state. Yeah, all public and private gatherings of any size are prohibited. What? It went from suggestions, recommendations, you know, the way a servant, government leaders appointed by the people to serve, might advise a master, we the people, holders of the ultimate power in this government, to now they are the master and you are the servant. These stories are all over America. I hardly had time to touch on them. In Santa Ana, California, the quote, the police department cracked down on the annual tradition of cars cruising on Easter Sunday. Yeah, people may not leave their homes for drive-up services or to pick up non-essential items such as prepackaged Easter eggs or bags filled with candy and toys. Unbelievable. You just stay home. You get in your room. You don't come out of your room. You stay in your room because I said so. What kind of government do we have going on here? I understand some are issuing papers to declare they are outside conducting business that is covered under essential activities. So, well, we soon have the spectacle of police stopping us in the street saying, papers, please. I totally get the importance of taking reasonable precautions and cooperating. And we do, by the way, I do, my family does, our church does, cooperating with efforts to curb the spread of this or any disease. But it is becoming increasingly obvious that this has little to do with protecting health and much to do with finding out just how far the dictators in heart, the Antichrist spirit in this country operating in the children of disobedience, the Democrats, can stretch us on the stretcher before Americans start crying freedom. Now, I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You call and let me know you see they're on 1-805-314-2114. Go to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email message. God bless you. God bless America. I'll see you in church.
Prisoner wishes to say a word.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.